doctor on my sick bed. When I was lonely, Lord would bend my brain. When I didn't have food, or he made a way. Anybody here ever been in trouble and you didn't know what to do? But finally you thought about a higher car you serve, and you begin to call on. I wanna ask you one thing. When you got up off your knee, didn't he answer?
Yes, he did.
Didn't he answer?
Oh, yes, he did.
Anybody know he will?
Yes, he will.
Oh, yes, he will. Late in the midnight hour, he made a way. Early in the morning, oh, yes, he did. God bless you. God bless you. Let's just go ahead and give him some praise. If you know he worked it out for you, if you know the devil couldn't stop you. Oh, yeah. Woo-hoo-hoo. Look at somebody and tell them, woo-hoo-hoo. Wee, yeah.
You've been listening to the Breath of Life radio broadcast, a ministry of Maranatha Seventh-day Adventist Church, located at 4615 South MacArthur Drive. That's the corner of MacArthur Drive and Willow Glen Street in Alexandria. You are cordially invited to worship with us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Sabbath school and 10 a.m. for divine worship. Prayer meetings are held each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Maranatha continues to offer to our listeners free of charge Bible study lessons in a colorful and easy to understand format. A beautiful certificate is issued upon completion. The Extreme Praise Ministries is also sponsored by Maranatha. It is a community-based youth ministry of approximately 75 area youth. Its ministries include skits, puppetry, mimes, drama interpretation, praise dancing, and more. To request Extreme Praise Ministries for bookings at your church, family reunion, street ministry, or other events, or to request free Bible study lessons, please phone us at 448-4059 or toll free at 800-779-1787. Send comments or questions to P.O. Box 5502, Alexandria, Louisiana 71307. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1. Women need love. Men need respect. Simple said, but complicated. On Friday, February 17th at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 9 a.m., the Word Christian Center, 4701 Lee Street, with host pastors Reverend Greg and Celeste Tejada, present Love and Respect video conference by Dr. Emerson and Sarah Egerich. This relationship conference is for the married, divorced, separated, dating, and single. Dr. Emerson and Sarah Egerich conference teaches men and women how to resolve conflict, dealing with negative reactions, known as the crazy cycle. The energizing cycle will teach and motivate couples by meeting each other's needs, even though your relationship seems hopeless. In this love and respect conference, you can gain understanding on how to handle an indifferent or unresponsive partner, which is called the reward cycle. The Egerich's teachings will give strategies to change your relationship and give it a lasting boost. Or, if you have a great relationship, come listen and avoid future problems. Seating is limited, you may register online at www.loveandrespect.com or contact Vanita Johnson at the church, 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100.
With Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
So if we're going to say that I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, that I abide in him and he abides in me, then I need to walk just like he walked. Amen? And you do that by the word. Find out what the word says and you start putting that into practice, what you see in the word. Amen? The last one, verse 9. He that said he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. John said, you're still blind. You can say you're in the light all you want. You can say you have fellowship with him all you want. You can say you're walking with him all you want. You can say you know him all you want, but there better be some evidence. We should say those things. But then we got to back it up with a commitment and a dedication to be obedient to the voice of God and the word of God and to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We should never be satisfied with waist-deep water. Because as long as we're in waist-deep, we're still kind of controlling where we go. Amen. We want to get out in the Holy Ghost where the Holy Ghost can blow the wind any way he wants us to go. We are led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We get out in the waters where the water was over our head. Amen. Waters to swim in. Amen. You want to get out there, you just want to get out there in the Holy Ghost, not being stupid and crazy, and I'm not talking about being fanatical and things. I'm talking about having the wisdom of God on the inside of you where you know what you're doing and you're being led by the Spirit of God and you got Scripture backing you up. Amen. The Scripture says if we say we abide in it, then we ought to walk like he walked. Now, how did he walk? Well, let's look at a couple of them tonight. How did Jesus walk? He walked in victory. Tonight been a victory. Tonight been a victory service. From the time we start off on the singing, I mean from the time y'all start gathering around in here, it's been victory in this place tonight. Oh, I'm going to tell you, there's a powerful anointing in this place. It's breaking down yokes and strongholds. I mean, it's destroying things of the devil. How many of y'all been encouraged already? You see, how many of you got your mind renewed in some aspect? You say, you know what, I can do better than what I'm doing. You know, that yoke came off of you. When the Bible says that the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing, you know what that literally means? The word anointing there means fat. In other words, a yoke was meant to go around the neck of an animal, right? And so what the anointing does, it causes you to enlarge. The devil trying to put that yoke on it, but see, you done grew. You done expanded. He still got that same old yoke. The yoke don't grow. The anointing grows. The anointing increases. When the anointing increases in your life, that old yoke got to come off. You start growing, that yoke pop off of you. Then the devil bring that yoke back. He's trying to fit it on you, and it don't fit no more. He said they're too big for the yoke. That's how people, when they get set free, that yoke is destroyed because of the anointing, because of the fatness that God bring in your life. Talking about the power of God. Begin to break and stretch that yoke and make that thing useless. So when God make you fat with that anointing, cause you to grow and increase, that anointing increase, let me tell you, there's some old bondages and some old habits and some things that just don't fit you no more. All right. Hallelujah. You know, some of y'all was bound by all kind of stuff, but now you ain't bound by that no more. And somebody off here just say, no, I don't do that no more. Why? That yoke come off of you. You're not under that yoke anymore. Say, no, baby, I don't do that no more. I found something better than that. Why? The devil can try to bring some around, try to put that yoke on you and say, no, it ain't going to fit. I ain't going there. I don't do that no more. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Jesus walked in complete, total victory in everything. Now, the word victory means the overcoming of an enemy or an antagonist. Sound like the devil, don't it? It means achievement of mastery or success in a struggle or endeavor against odds or difficulties. It means to utterly vanquish. That means to overcome, to subdue completely, to gain the mastery over. You see, God's will is that you will gain the mastery over Satan. He wants you to overcome him every time he come around you. Now, how do I know that's true? Because that's what Jesus did. See, the devil never could overcome Jesus. He never was smart enough to outwit Jesus. He never was crafty enough that he could trick Jesus and get Jesus to fall for one of his schemes. How many times did Jesus fail in combating the devil? None. He never failed. So how many times did you fail?
Zero.
Amen. Y'all remember the story I told y'all about Gabriel when he was a little boy? About overwhelming victory? All right, this is what, let me tell you a story. What happened was my little boy was playing a PlayStation game. I went back there to check on him, playing football on the game. I went in and I just peeped in the door to see what Gabriel doing. I said, Gabriel, what you doing? He said, I'm playing a game. I said, what's the score? 300 something to nothing. I said, what? 300 something to nothing? He said, yeah. I said, Gabriel, how is that any fun? I said, don't you want the game to be a little close, like a challenge? I, you know, it seemed like the game would be more exciting if, you know, you was barely getting it. You know, you're going back and forth, but you're winning. Seemed like the excitement would be there. He said, no, Dad. He said, the object is to keep the opponent at zero. He didn't care what his score was. The whole object of the game for him, don't let him score. And when he told me that the object was to keep his opponent at zero, that's what the challenge was. It was not in how many points he scored, but to keep the zero on the other side was the whole reason he was playing. And when I heard that, I said, boy, that's an overwhelming victory. Then the Lord spoke to me and said, that's what I want y'all to have. That's exactly what I want you to have. I want you to have an overwhelming victory. I don't want the devil taking you into triple overtime. Anytime you got a triple overtime, that means that the team's pretty even, right? It means that he could have went either way. One play might have decided the whole thing. See, some of y'all satisfied with, well, you know, I'm going up the rough side. Yeah. That means you barely make it. I'm going up the rough side of the mountain. How did this song go? What y'all know that song? What's wrong with y'all? You going up the rough side of the mountain. I'm going up the rough side. What how it go, Rob Lewis? Well, Rob Lewis the main one leading the chorus. He going up the rough side, how it go? Just doing your best to make it in. Oh, the choir over here. I know Pastor CeCe ain't taught y'all that. Going up the rough side, doing their best to make it in. Hey, if you got to pick a side, pick the smooth side. The Lord ain't never told us to go up the rough side. Don't brag about the rough side. He said, speak to the mountain. Command the mountain to move. Cry grace to the mountain, and it'll become a plain. Stop trying to climb up the rough side and being proud of it. How you doing today? Well, child, I'm going up the rough side. Doing my best to make it in. He was victorious in everything. He overcame temptation in Luke chapter 4. The devil came against him, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus was tested in three dimensions. He was tested in the flesh. He was tested in the psychological, the mental realm, and he was tested in the spirit. In the flesh, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus said, it is written. See, there it is right there. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Then he was tested in the psychological, the mental realm, the soulish realm, where the devil took him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. It's the lust of the eyes. All this will I give you if you'll fall down and worship me. Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he was tested in the spirit with the devil, got spiritual with him, and say, throw yourself down. For it is written. There he go. He come back with the word. See, the devil quotes scripture too. I almost say the devil misquotes scripture. He give you enough truth mixed in there to get you off. That's why you got to study the word to rightly divide it. Because the devil can give you a half of scripture and have you acting on half of knowledge. For it is written. He's quoting right out of Psalm 91. Cast yourself down, for it is written. The angel shall bear thee up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He came out of that time, that season of temptation, victorious, because the scripture says that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. That's the way you're supposed to come through temptation. The Bible says that there is no temptation taking us, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond your strength, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. So Jesus was victorious over temptation. Jesus was victorious over schemes and strategies and traps that the enemy tried to get him with. Amen. You know, they plotted against Jesus. Some of y'all have people plotting against you on your job. You have people that's trying to set you up for failure. But if you'll walk with God and walk like Jesus walked, let me tell you, all them things ain't going to work. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that arise against you in judgment to condemn you, thou shalt condemn, or you'll show it to be in the wrong. God said, their righteousness is of me, glory to God. He said, I'm the one made them righteous. Hallelujah. Over and over, they tried to scheme to get Jesus in a trap. And then they got mad at him when he didn't fall in the trap. Then they wanted to kill him. See, that's what happened. When you don't go the way somebody's scheming for you, oh, they get mad. They get so mad they won't kill you. Don't you be scared of nobody on your job. There ain't no man on your job control your destiny. Listen, I learned something one day. When I was in a tight situation, I had to realize, I say, listen, to a certain degree, I put my life in somebody else's hand. And then I got in a situation, I say, well, I need to take my life out of that situation and let me get my life back in God's hand. Some of y'all need to take everything back and give it back to God and say, look, my life is in your hand, nobody else's hand. You don't have to fear what man can do to you when you walk with God. I know a man that was having trouble on his job, thinking about quitting. I told him, I said, don't quit. I said, in 2 weeks, they're going to straighten up or they'll be gone. That man done put his hand against you, and you're a child of God. You know it, in 2 weeks, he was gone. He was a supervisor, but he was gone in 2 weeks' time. He didn't want to straighten up, so God shipped him out. See, if God bless you with something, can't nobody move you out of that. Remember, your life is not in the hands of a man. Amen. Don't you be afraid of a man that's going to die. Don't be scared. Tell your neighbor, say, don't be scared. Say, don't walk around on eggshells on your job. Now, you got to do your job. Don't give the enemy a place. Don't be going to work late, staying long for lunch, right? Man, catch you sleeping half the time. Any favor that God will put upon you, you'll lose it by just not being diligent about you should be one of the best employees. because you're a child of God. You ought to be wiser. Amen. Glory to God. You ought to have insight into things, how to do your job better. You should be the one that's shining. And I know that's the reason why some of y'all have an opposition, because your light is shining bright, and people that don't want to do nothing don't like people that like to work. You know, some people say, hey, wait a minute, slow down. You're making the rest of us look bad. You ain't got to do all that today. We got a week to get this done. Well, you know that job don't take a week to get done. So there's pressure to conform to that. No, let your light shine. Just say, look, that man paying me for 8 hours work, that's what I'm going to give him. You got to be victorious on your job. Amen. God wants you to win where you are. And if that's not your permanent location and you know that that's not your full destiny, you do your best. You be faithful there. Amen. You do the right thing and get victory in that situation. You overcome where you are. Use what you have on the inside of you. God will give you wisdom to be excellent at what you do. You shouldn't be fitting into the other crowd of lazy people. All y'all labor lazy. Oh, I got a lazy crew back there. None of them won't work. Well, you right in the same crowd. No, be different. Don't be afraid to be different. What set Joseph apart? He could have just easily blended into the crowd. You know, you don't want no attention when you're in prison. You just want to blend in, but not Joseph. Joseph rose to the top no matter what situation he was in. He kept rising up. Before you know it, he run into prison. Before you know it, he run in Potiphar's house. Before you know it, he run in Pharaoh's kingdom. What's in you got to come out. You got to learn to walk like he walked. How would Jesus handle that job? Would Jesus come in there 5 minutes late every day? Why should you do that? Would Jesus take an hour and a half when the man told him to take an hour? No, because then you're stealing time. See, our culture out there, it don't live by godly principle. People get by with what they can get by with. But if you're going to walk like he walked, then you have to do it just like he would do it if he was here doing it. He walked in victory. And he overcame the schemes and the strategies that people had to stop him, but they couldn't stop him. Hallelujah. He wants you to have victory in every area. He wants you to have an overwhelming victory. Everybody say overwhelming.
Overwhelming,
overwhelming victory. Let's look at Mark chapter 3. Now, the Lord led me this way for a reason here. There's somebody here that needs this right here. Because you're right in the middle of all of this. There's a lot of scheming and manipulation that go on these jobs. You know, you got the buddy system. You know, it's who you know. All of that. You got these cliques. You got all these things that's out there. You need to learn how to overcome in that and not let people run you off from where God set you. I remember somebody got upset because they didn't have no Christians on the job. Well, I'm believing God for another job because ain't no believers where I work. All right, then your light ought to really be bright then. You ought to have the brightest light there is. You got, what opportunity you have. Now, I know sometimes you go on a job, you feel like you've been fighting devils all day. You're fighting devils in the car. When you wake up in the morning, the fight starts. Oh, geez, I got to go up in there again today. Lord, I done run out of call-in days. I ain't got no more days of call-in. I'd call in today if I had another call-in day. Some of y'all taking sick days when you ain't sick. You know, that's a lie. I'm going to tell you like it is. You call in sick and you ain't sick and say, but Pastor, that's just the way it is. That's a sick day. You're supposed to be sick to take that day. Well, everybody do it. See, you just fell into the mold of everybody else. Boy, it's burning in here now. Who in here thinking about somebody need to get his tape to? Think about it. Supervisor, I'm sick today. I'm taking a sick day today. What's wrong with you? Well, you know, I'm just feeling bad. Just didn't sleep good last night. Think I'm coming down. See, you start talking all that negative stuff. Think I'm coming down with something. No, ain't nothing wrong with you. And you really like to do it just when you first wake up, so your voice still like you sleep. Where your voice all cracked. I can't come in today. I need a little more rest. I'm gonna try to make it tomorrow. I just can't make it in today. Voice all cracked up. Then you hang the phone up. Hey, where that breakfast at? Hey, you finished cooking them eggs back there? You know good and well you ain't sick. Now you acting sick. Then you get off the phone. I resist sickness in the name of Jesus. I know I spoke some bad words. Lord, forgive me for lying and forgive me for acting sick. I rebuke sickness now. You ain't supposed to do that on these jobs. You can't have victory walking in deception. Jesus didn't walk in deception. He's a man had no guile in him. There was no deceit in him. Be honest. You don't need to look. Use your vacation wisely. I know what it's like. I had a little time when I was working. I didn't want to go on Mondays. They knew when the phone rung on Monday and said, "There go Greg." I never took 2 weeks vacation because I took them all one day at a time. Hey, I'll take day of vacation. I ain't never called and told them I was sick when I wasn't sick. I ain't never lie. I say, hey, I got 3 personal holidays. I'm taking one a day. Or, hey, I'm taking day of vacation today. Well, that was all right with my boss. See, it was okay. I was using my time. But I knew I had to overcome. And I got to where I stopped doing that Monday thing. I had that spirit of dread on me. Start on Sunday night. Gotta go to work in the morning. There you going. I'm gonna call in. Then you sit there and you say, do I call, do I not call? Do I go or not go? All right, let's look at Jesus. He had people scheme against him. Mark 3, let's look at verse 20. It says, and the multitude come together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. Now notice here in the beginning here that they begin to ascribe Jesus' goodness and his good works to the works of the devil. Now that's an age-old strategy of the devil, that when you are a good person doing the right thing, people are going to speak evil of you. They don't be surprised when people start calling your goodness evil. They told Jesus that, look, he casting out devils by Beelzebub. That's chief devil. So even though what he was doing was good and people were being blessed and delivered and set free, they were ascribing that work to the devil. And so many times on these jobs, what will happen is that you'll have one person there or a handful of people, sometimes even a group of people, that will speak evil of your good deeds. They will find fault with what you're doing. Even though you're doing a good job, they will look for something that they can criticize you about. That's why you have to cover the bases, like being on time, because that shuts that door. That's why you have to, you know, do things with integrity, because it robs the enemy of a door of accusation against you. Then Jesus said this here. He said, verse 27, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewithsoever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost have never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he had an unclean spirit.